morning.
Good morning. How are you guys? As well? Guys, tender. So we want to quickly, before we go into the Word, just want a warm welcome to the visitors who are here for the very first time. I know I've met a couple of guys this morning, and haven't done this yet, today. So we want to just take a moment, and y'all, welcome. Woo! We've got people from California, woo, visiting from Leap in California, Kayleen and Alexia from California with the boys from Leap, our Bible school in Wellington, so that's cool. Welcome with us. Met Georgia's parents this morning, that's welcome with us. I can't remember. Jenna, welcome with us from Melkbos all the way. Nick, welcome back. Who else is here for the first time? And we'd love to give you a little paper and a free coffee, cappuccino, tea, hot chocolate. Georgia's? Tequila. Tequila. But it's Holy Spirit tequila, not like, obviously. Come Lord. Lord, the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So can we get the little papers to Georgia's parents here? Who else? You can put your hand up and say, I want a free coffee. Hey, you don't want a free coffee. You can take tea. That's fine. What's your name? Lua. Luau. Take the coffee. Just, okay, we're going to. Luau, welcome. Anyone else who wants a free coffee? Oh yes. Obviously, Eric is visiting for the first time in like 4 weeks or 5 weeks, something. Welcome back, Eric. I almost called you Derek. Yes, we love you. We love you, Jesus. I was just sensing as we were worshiping now, the Lord. Let's pray before I share that. No, let's pray. Father, we thank you for such a beautiful day. Thank you for new mercies. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you that you shed your blood to pay the price so that we can come boldly and humbly before your throne of grace every day, that we can live with you, Jesus, so that we don't have to perish but have eternal life with you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Let me take a little bit off the, it's a bit of a much on this mic, eh? Yeah, Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you in this place. We welcome you to come and move in our hearts. I just want to encourage us this morning as we open the Word together. I'm going to start my timer as well. As we open the Word together, that we draw from Him. Amen? Draw from Him. He has the words of life. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, the life. I can't give you anything. I can, like Paul said to the bigger, like silver and gold have I not. But what I have, I can give you, and that's Jesus. But Jesus actually gives himself to you. So we want to draw from heaven this morning, draw in the Spirit. And just like as we were worshiping this morning, as we went into most beautiful, I just heard the word vocab. And that's short for vocabulary. I'm not that young, but I try to. Jordan keeps me. James teaches me the slang. But vocabulary, the Lord wants to give us vocabulary. He wants to give us a language. And He wants to help us communicate with Him. And that takes language, to understand the language of God, the ways of God. He's caught up in scriptures with words like glory. And we're not talking nacho libre. I don't know if, but glory. The glory of God, the presence of God, the beauty of God. And we are often, we are overthrown in a way with a lot of language around us, a lot of entertainment around us. I mean, like, I don't know if you guys got that little screen thing in your pockets. The ladies got it in their bags, probably in your hands now. And there's so much on there, language. That's unhelpful. So much so, it takes away from us understanding God well. But I felt this morning, as we were spending time just singing, Lord, you are beautiful. He wants to rekindle the fires of his vocabulary. What does beauty mean? What does glory mean? What does his presence mean? And when we think of love, we don't think of Disney, Walt Disney, or Prince Charles, or the Kardashians. I don't know who you guys, I don't know. Or your favorite dog. Or, I don't know, surfing. Bless you, guys. Or hiking. Or McDonald's. Or cold plunges. Or tattoos. Or your girlfriend. Or your... What else do you think of? What do you think of in California? The beach. But when we think of love, when we think of God. We think of God first and foremost. When we understand the depths of our hearts again, when we read scriptures like Psalm 44 talks about deep crying unto deep. Do we relate to these scriptures? Praying in the Spirit, do we understand these scriptures? Do we Um Johan, that's good, eh? Very good, thanks. Psalm 25, it's not on, but I was just sensing it as we were worshiping now. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. Who of you guys want to be a friend of God? And the rest of you? Just say yes. Just go for it. Just say yes, Lord. I don't know what it means, but I say yes. I loved Eric's announcements this morning, and Phil came up to him afterwards like, "Were you like a Christian this morning? You're happy." We should be, guys, Christians. We were saved to be joyful. So let's put the somberness and the sadness aside. We have the good news. Jesus, the gospel of God that saved us. We were dead. Oh my goodness. When last did you see a dead guy not dead anymore? Look to your neighbor. Quickly. That guy was dead. Some of us, you not taking me serious. Look, Paul. Come on, man. I'm serious. Look in the mirror. Just, you were dead. If you've received and believed in Jesus, now you're alive. You are saved out of blindness and out of death. You are now into marvelous light, living and breathing because of the cross of Jesus. That's good news. God so loved the world. That's how much he loved us, that he gave his one and only son. So that whoever believes. By the way, I love participation. You guys are welcome to shout, say amen, throw up your hands. If you're not like that, you can even do it if you're not like that. I love you so much. God so loved the world. So the other day, my 8-year-old son, his name is Jera, sits right here. He walks up to me. He's like, Papa. So where in the Bible do we read about that we need to love our brothers? Now, obviously, he's got two brothers. And he's like trying to figure this thing out. 8 years old. So I'm like, 1 John chapter 4. And he's like, whoa. You need to show me. So he runs to his room, gets out his Bible, brings it to me. I open it up, I show him there from verse 7. And it actually starts off with that love comes from God. And then verse 18, it says that God is love. And then John continues and he says, love is not that we love him. Remember what I said earlier? No, don't think of love as your favorite dog or your favorite walk or your favorite meal. We need to get back to the simple and the ancient ways of God, where love is God. God is love. Me trying to love my wife is not love. This is real love, that he loved us first. That's what John says. So before we try to love our brothers, we need to turn to the one who is love. I love it. Sorry. But he's 8 years old now, and I was thinking, I got quite emotional the last couple of days because I was thinking, I was 8 years old when I, by court order, me and my two sisters, we were ordered to go live with my dad. My mom couldn't hold a job by that stage, lost her job. We ended up living in the car, like a couple of us, yeah, who's lived in cars over the years. But we lived in the car in the caravan park in Worcester, a little orange VW city golf thing. You know, rust, properly rusted on the side. Watched King Kong by a neighbor at night. Stop. Cool vibes, you know what I mean? In the caravan park. So the court said, obviously, there's no more roof. You have to go to live with my dad. So I remember that December, it was the 8th, 1992. And the social worker fetched us. My sister, who was the oldest one, was kicking and screaming, like properly. Obviously, like, what's happening? And took us, we went to live with my dad, and he made us a Coke float. You guys remember Coke floats? That was like a thing back in the day. Now everybody's drinking sparkling water. Well done, guys. We have come far. I just want to say, we've come far. Praise God. But Coke float was a thing. There was a little dog called Tekkies, like in Afrikaans, like shoes, like Tekkies. It was running around there. And a little thing. Praise God. And so in that, I just literally had no clothes on. Oh, no clothes on. Sorry. I was dressed. But we had nothing with us. It was me, my two sisters, and suddenly we're living in a new house with my dad. He recently got married, so I suddenly had a stepmom as well. We never really called a stepmom. Started by auntie, and then it quickly became mom because she was such a beautiful lady. And I suddenly had three brothers as well, so we were six. Like, I was number four. And in that December, my dad, one evening on the little stoopy outside the house. You guys, stoopy, you know what a stoopy is? Like a little porch outside. Yeah. Sorry. Just shout if I use wrong language. Eh? By the way, Afrikaans first language. So my grammar is beautiful. Okay. Technically, I'm Afrikaans. So my dad leads me to the Lord one evening. He asked me, do I want to give my life to the Lord? And I was 8 years old. I give my life to the Lord. And I was very privileged to, from a young age, learn to read the Bible. I spent 6:30 every morning. We spent time with the Lord for like 15 minutes before I went to eat breakfast with the family. And then we would pray prayers after breakfast, prayers like, the Lord is my shepherd, or our Father in heaven, or Ephesians 1, or Ephesians 3, those type of prayers. So I was very privileged. But as I was thinking over the last 33 years, basically since then, I remember beautiful times. I mean, like, on my own, beautiful times with the family, beautiful times worshiping Jesus. Got baptized when I was 15. Started experiencing the Holy Spirit. Started praying in the Spirit when I was about 15, 16. I mean, like, we led people to the Lord, hundreds, when I was 16, 17. But one thing I didn't do, I didn't keep my eyes on Jesus. I didn't keep my eyes on Jesus. So when I was about 18, 19, I lived a double life. You know, like a Russian agent coming to spy on us, or America doing his thing, pretending to be all American, but he's actually Russian. So I did that for a little while. And one morning, I actually woke up next to a naked Swedish person. It was a girl, by the way. I just meant to be clear. But I woke up there, and I was like, yes. And I felt the Lord say to me, Donovan, you need to get better friends. Literally, that's what I heard. You need to get better friends. You need to get back to better friends. And I literally went home. Dad, I remember this guy who was at the youth when I was 2 years before. His name was Tarsius. Where is he now? Just immediately on the phone. And I felt the Lord said that day, if you don't do this, that might be the end. I might not make it. And by then, I've loved the Lord. But I didn't daily make Jesus my priority. And I feel like this morning, the Lord wants us to say something to us. Don't waste 2026. I wasted those years. Don't waste 2026. Don't waste it. Don't go like, I'll choose Jesus later. I'll spend time with Jesus tomorrow again or next week. I'll choose holiness again next week. I'll watch a little bit of porn this week and I'll ah, I'll not pay my taxes this year, maybe when I've got more taxes, money to pay, all those type of things. I don't know what we adults struggle with, you know what I mean? But I feel like the Lord is saying, do not waste this year. We were spending time with the kids, actually Thursday, Wednesday in the morning, and we were like just reading Ephesians as well, and Paul talks about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because the time is precious. Your time is precious. The Lord gives you every day. And do you know what He gives you every day? New mercies to follow Him. New mercies that, do you know what mercy is? Mercy is the undeserved hand of God. Not because you're cute, because we've got some cute guys like Connor. I mean, like, my goodness. Like, as it's not because you're doing well, not because you prayed the right prayer. He gives you mercy because He is love. That's why He does it. It's His design. His design is love. He's every part of Him. Everything He does is love. That's special. I mean, like, when God is angry with you, He does it in love. When God punishes you, He does it in love. When God allows you to go through suffering, which He does, if your doctrine doesn't include that, make way. Because suffering will come your way. Problems. You are promised problems. And like, I've had some amazing coffees over the last couple of weeks. You guys have got a lot of problems. So that means you guys are in the will of God. Praise God. Hey, Nick. Praise God. So it's learning to understand that the ways of God never takes us out of this world. It puts us right in it. Not belonging to it, but in it. Ready to preach the gospel, the good news. We can be joyful in. We can rejoice through every trial, through every tribulation. So the Lord wants to teach us not to waste this year, but rather to endure. And how did Jesus endure? I mean, like, He endured the most unfair, unjust, harsh punishment that any of us can think of. The man who was perfect and who had no sin went to Calvary and He died for us. He took upon Himself the weight of our sin, each one of us. Eh? Think of all your failures. Okay, don't. You might, don't. I might not get you back. Don't think of all your failures right now. But if you would have thinking of all your failures and all your mistakes and your brother's stuff and your mother's stuff and all the everything and the last 4,000 years before He came and the 2,000 years, He took all of that upon Himself. Got nailed to a tree. First 40 lashes, ripping His flesh from His body. They spat on His face. Put a crown, thorns on His head, and literally nailed Him to a tree. And His only response was, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. How beautiful. Right there, we know how to live. That's love. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God is love. It's the very essence of His nature. And there's a little story in Exodus when, if you go look at God as love, in Genesis, we see, Exodus. So Exodus 34, we see this passage where God has led the Israelites, these people, out of slavery, out of Egypt by then. And they've messed up a couple of times, like we all do. They even built a little golden calf by now. I'm like, Moses spent, I think, only 40 days, up the mountain. And they couldn't wait for 40 days to just wait for the guy to bring the two tablets with the law back. But they built a little golden calf. I don't know where he got the mold, but my goodness. They built a golden calf with all the jewelry of the ladies. That must be desperate, eh? Because my wife wouldn't give up her jewelry. Hey, leave. There's no way. There's no way. I've tried to sell some of them, and it doesn't happen. So they're building this calf, and God is upset again. Remember, when God gets upset, he loves. So God starts to negotiate a bit with Moses, and Moses negotiates a little bit back. And God says, I'm going to just go. Because if I go with you, I probably will kung fu chop you. I will wipe you guys out. Probably. Moses goes like, whoa, 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 whoa. And listen to this. Listen to what Moses says. I'm going to read Exodus 33, verse 15. If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Do we have it there? That word personally go with us, talk about the presence of God. The older translations will say, if your presence do not go with us, please don't send us from here. I don't want an angel. Now, some of us get excited about angels. Don't. Don't forget about the angels. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. The angels are servants. They're there to help us. But don't forget, don't worry about them. The Bible teaches us, fix your eyes on Jesus. So Moses says, Lord, don't go. I don't want to go out without you. I don't want to go without your presence. Now, presence, after I want us to just quickly stop with that word, presence of God. Now, the Bible teaches us that God is everywhere. You guys know that, eh? So most of us know that. But this presence isn't that. Because you guys it's kind of obvious if you read it, because he's going to still be everywhere, but he sends the angel. So what this presence is talking about, and we're going to see it later in the scriptures, it talks about the kabot, the weighty, the actual, what some people would call the manifest presence of God. Basically, it's nicely translated in the New Living Translation as personally with us. So God can be everywhere, but he can be in a way not with us if we choose to not be with him. And that's the only thing that can separate you. Because Romans 8, not even a demon, not even angels, nothing can separate us from him. But he says, you can be separated. So the presence of God is getting back to be a people of the presence of God. Is saying, Lord, I want you to be personally with me. So I want James with me. Now, I would love to have James with me all the time. Like literally, he's personally with me now. Now we're walking. And this is as simple as it is. God wants us to walk with him. You must look happy. So we're walking. Lord, I don't want to go without you. Now, James can send me a little text, like WhatsApps and stuff from his home, because he works remotely. But I want him to be with me. Personally, with me. Not for a moment without him. And God wants us to understand that he's as simple as that. As simple as that. He's personally with us. Which means if I turn and say, hey, Jesus. And you say,
hey, Don.
Hey, Don. It's got a good Jesus voice. You got a good Jesus voice. I like, Lord, how do you do this again?
I'm not sure.
That's a good answer, because sometimes we're so unclear with the Lord. We like say these things like, Lord, help me. And the Lord's probably asking you, how do you want me to help me? So you can say thanks. But this is, I keep on telling my kids, we don't have to ask the Lord to be with us in the sense of like he is with us. But if we mean, Lord, I want to have you this close. We want your nearness. We want to experience you. The very essence of your prayer. I want to feel you. The manifest presence of God. I want to know you are near. That's a different question. Do you guys get that? So Moses is saying, Lord, I know you hold the whole world together. But I want you with us personally. That's who of you guys, when last did you ask the Lord, I want you personally today with me? At work, at school, when I'm playing soccer or foot or surf, I want you personally right there. Right there, I want you right there. There's the rest of God. There's the peace of God. That's the presence of God, talking about the face of God. So when we say, Lord, I seek your face, we say, personal. I want to be personally. I want to walk with you. And if your presence does not go with us, I love what Moses also points out here. It's a us. It's not just a me. It's a we. Say we. That's like almost French. So we. We, we. Come, Lord. Nikki's getting excited. Come, Lord. We. It's about we. It's about us. Do not go with us. Lord, do not just contend for the Lord with you. Contend for the Lord with us. You know, the Lord wants us, when we come together, it's we come together. We don't wait for the pastor to preach before we start connecting with Jesus. We don't wait for the priest to shanana. Yalala. Wait for the elder to say, bless you. Hey, dog? Dog doesn't never wait. Like, I love a dog. So we just go, we are the priesthood of believers. Each one of us are in ministry to love God's people and to love Jesus. That's who we are. It's contend for one another, guys. Pray for one another. Amen? Yes, that's good. My goodness. So listen to verse 16. For your presence. Yes, listen to that. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? Check there. So for your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Literally. That right there must go like, you can't live a day without the presence of God. And I'm not talking about the omnipotent presence of God. I'm talking about James with me, presence of God. The personally God walking with us. When you're going to work and you've got problems, turn to Jesus. Don't just turn to ChatGPT. If you're looking for advice, turn to Jesus. Open the Word of God. Say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know what you want me to do. Help me here, Lord. Come on. And listen to this, verse 17. Are we there yet? Yes. So the Lord replied to Moses, I will endue. Listen how nice the Lord is. He's quickly convinced. Oh, my goodness. So this is the Lord, guys. This is the Lord. It doesn't take him much to say yes if you want him. So make him your pursuit. Him. That's beautiful. Wesley? The Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do it, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name. Huh? Verse, where's the next verse? Yes. So listen to this. Lord, then show me your glorious presence. Not just I want to know about it, give me a little message so I can read it. Not information, I want a little pamphlet. No. Show me. I want to see you. I want to see your glorious presence. When last did you ask the Lord, Lord, show me your glory? I was sitting in this last couple of weeks, I spent some time with the Lord, and I felt the Lord just keep on reminding me, you need to ask me. Ask me to reveal myself to you. Ask me to show me you. No? Which one? Show you me. Show me you. Show you me. Show me you. Show you me. It's about... Guys, our theology needs to get back to the basics. The word says, the Lord literally says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. That's a good verse right there. When you tell me you can't find the Lord, I will try to be very nice, obviously, about it, but I will say, you can find the Lord. He's right there. He might feel like he's in China. I told the worship. It does. It does feel. Hey, Nick, it does feel sometimes. You guys know it. Sometimes it feels like he's in China. But what I would encourage you is open your Bible. Open your Bible. Start reading. Just read. Read John 1. If you can't sense the Lord yet, go to chapter 2. Go to chapter 3. Read the whole of John if you're not experiencing the Lord yet. If you're still not experiencing the Lord, go to Acts. Read the whole of Romans. Guys, try it. If you, by the end of Romans, is not experiencing the Lord's presence, come to me, I will lead you to Jesus. Then you're probably not saved yet. And I mean it kindly, guys, but come on. It's not difficult. Guys, I want to say it's not difficult to find the Lord. Open your word. Put away the distractions. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Put away the distractions. It's that thing. Where's that thing? That phone thing there. Put it away. Don't just put it on airtime. What is that thing? What's that? Airplane. Sorry. Afrikaans, guys. How much time are we doing? Come, Lord. So I want to, and listen to this, and Dan preached so beautifully on this passage. This is how the Lord introduces himself to Noah. Oh, to Moses. Exodus 34, verse 17. He said, show me your glory, and this is what he says. 34. Verse 6. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord. He's shouting out his name. Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. That's God. Very simply, God introduces himself as the one that is Yahweh. He's the Lord, the God of compassion, mercy, slow to anger, filled with unfailing love. It's that devotion love. And I felt actually as I was just praying that the Lord is saying, I loved you so much that I gave my one and only son. The only proper response is to say, Lord, I want to love you so much, I give you my one and only life. I give you my whole life. I give you my whole life. Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart. As men, we need to get more comfortable with being the bride of Christ. And as we were singing, as Eric was sharing this morning when we were worshiping, we need to get comfortable with the beauties of Jesus. The beauty of him. Being the bride. Being weak. Meek. Humble. Lowly. Forgiving. The only response to a loving and a gracious God is that we look on him. You know, 2 Corinthians 3 teaches us, as we behold then his glory. What happens? We are transformed into the very same image. So if you're struggling, if I'm struggling, because I am struggling often, to be gracious and kind, I need to get back to beholding him. Basically, what does that mean? Stare at him. Again, opening our scriptures, staring at the scriptures and allowing the scriptures to kiss us back. Allowing the words to change us from the inside. Allowing the words of God to wash over us and teach us his ways. And it's not going to happen if we do it once a week. This is not like intermittent fasting type of, or maybe some of us go to gym, or even less. It doesn't work like that. Paul teaches us, pick up your cross daily. Daily. David writes in the Psalms, early in the morning I seek you. On the bed I lay and I think upon you. Psalm 1 says, meditate on the law of God, day and night. And the law of God is encapsulated and caught up in the love of God. It's not the Ten Commandments. So if you read the Old Testament, you read the commandments of God. If you open your, and you turn on from Matthew, you read onwards, you receive the empowerment to walk in the commandments of God. So don't skim on either. You're going to really indulge in the commandments of God, but really allow the empowerment of God as he pours out the Spirit on you. So can we stand maybe together and just come before the Lord? This morning, there's literally only one response, guys, is that we say, Lord, I give you my whole life. I give you all of me. I want to love you with all my heart. I want to love you with all my soul. I want to love you with all my strength. But getting back to the vocabulary of God, where we again get comfortable with saying, Lord, show me your glory. I want to look on your face. You're the one that I love. And I love what Dan preached, I think, 2 weeks ago. And he said, some of us, there are going to be moments. And we all go through that, guys, each one of us. That you read these things and you're like, Lord, I'm not feeling it. I'm struggling. But just say, Lord, help me in my unbelief. There's moments when we don't know how to pray. Actually, Romans 8 says. And that for me is a relief. So I don't have to compete with someone else because none of us really know how to pray. That's like, come, Lord. We can't do anything except if we're in Christ. So I want us to, can we just for a moment, just, do you know, show me your glory. It's just 1, 5, 6, 4. Can we just take a couple of moments this morning, and I'm going to give us time, just a little bit, and just say to the Lord, Lord, we want to be a people who seek your face. People who say, Lord, show me your glory. The glory is really the fullness of who God is. It speaks about everything that he is. His love, his kindness, his holiness, his the fact that he is the Almighty God, the one who was, the one who is, the one who will be, the one who will come back on a horse, on a white horse, who will judge the world, who will separate those who believe and those who don't believe. He is the Holy One, the one who was in the beginning, who created all things. He's the Word who became flesh. He's the bread of life. He's the living waters. He is Jesus. Lord, we want to be like Moses. Who's not willing to go a day without your companionship. Lord, we want to be your friends. We want to be your people. Oh, Jesus.
Where I belong, long to look on the
open your hands if you want to. Show me your glory. Jesus, Jesus, show me your glory. Hey, show me your glory. Lord, we seek your face. I long, cause I long to look on the face of the one that I love. Long to stay in your presence.
I long to look on the
up our desire. In our hearts, like the two on the road to Emmaus, Lord, give us a fire in our hearts. Holy Spirit, burn in us with a love that's unfailing, a love that is kind, a love that is patient, a love that bears all things, a love that endures all things, a love that never fails. Burn in us, Lord. Just as we stay in this place, just keep praying. Just say, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I don't want to waste this year. I don't want to waste the season of my life. I don't want to waste a day. I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. The cross before me, the world behind me. Jesus, your face before me, everything else behind me. I want to fix my eyes on you, Jesus. You are the author of our faith. You're the one who designed our whole being, Lord. You are also in the midst of everything, keeping us together, Lord. You are our breath, our life, Lord. All things that we need, Jesus. But you are also the finisher, Lord. And on that day, we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So I want to give an opportunity, if you hear today, and you know in your heart that you need to come and give your life to the Lord. You know, you're sitting there or standing there. I need to respond to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be yours. I surrender my whole life. I want to make you, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. It might be your first time. It might be your second time. Like when I drifted, I had to come back. I just said, Lord, I give you back my life. But if that's you, I just want you to be very bold, very confident. Just put up your hand very high. Just put it up. Say, Lord, I give you my life. I want to surrender. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Let's not miss this moment. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Come. Guys, if you need to make right with the Lord this morning, do it right now. Just put up your hand. Just say, Lord, here I am. I give you my whole life. Thank you. I see that hand. Let's just turn from ourselves and from our ways and from this world this morning. Say, Lord, I turn to you, Jesus. Because Jesus is saying, yes, I'm going to make you a new creation. Is there anyone else before we pray together? Oh, Lord, thank you. Can we pray? Can some of the leaders... just gather around some of these guys. Oh, don't you want to be very bold? Rather bold. Be very bold. Come to the front. Can I ask that? Confess Jesus before people? Thanks. You know, the Bible says if we confess Jesus before men, he will confess. Are you guys bold enough? Come stand here. Come a little bit forward. Wayne, you guys who gave your life to the Lord last Sunday, come pray with these guys. Who have you got? Come on, buddy. We want to pray with you guys. Come a little bit closer. Come on, let's keep praise to the Lord. You know, the heavens are rejoicing. Come on. Well done. Wayne, come pray with, bro. Come. Yeah, you, Wayne. Grayling. Wayne gave his life to the Lord last Sunday. Other Wayne, I don't know if other Wayne is here today. Yeah, come on. I love it. Get saved 1 week. Help lead the next guy into the kingdom the next week. Yeah. You guys can just pray. Let's gently just start. Let's just sing a little bit while they minister on and pray on. Just show me your glory. Show me your glory. Yes, Lord, from our hearts. Show me your glory. Jesus. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. I long to look. I long to look on the face of the one that I love. Long to stay in your presence where I belong. Long to look on the face of the one that I love. Long to stay in your presence where I belong. Moments just to keep ministering before we land. Is that okay, Eric?